Hey everybody, welcome to New World Pictures Podcast. We're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures and the movies nearly released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan, with me as always is Mark.
I just need to ask, is this the cheapest movie we have ever watched?
And Erica?
Great question, Mark. My vote is going to be yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, good.
The answer is no. That would probably be the Cremators. That would probably be the cheapest movie we've ever talked about. Anyway.
Damn it. What is Cremators? Damn it.
Don't worry. We will grade on a curve, and there's plenty of time in the semester to make up with another test. Don't worry. Your new world quizzes to come. Anyway, we are going to be talking about a particular sci-fi movie because, of course, we are in the midst of Sci-Fi July, an infinity of titles, where we're talking about some of the sci-fi films released by New World Pictures. We've been doing Sci-Fi July for, I think this is like our
25
time.
Years.
I think
I got that
feels
right.
Like,
yeah,
feels
yeah.
like it.
It feels accurate. If it's
I've
not
had children
actually accurate.
In the time we've done Sci-Fi July, so. Wild.
Wait, do you have an announcement to make, Mark?
I'm pregnant.
Wow. No. Wow. Feels like a weird place.
Anything can happen in space.
Except having a bed. That's on you. Hope you brought a pillow and a blankie.
You got to figure that out. That's not for us to figure out. And we are going to be talking about a movie that once I saw this initially, it looked exactly, it just felt like a New World sci-fi movie back in the Corman era. And then I learned more about how much that is true, that it even used some sets from a New World sci-fi movie. So that is quite a true statement. Of course, we're talking about 1986's Prison Ship, or Star Slammer, or Adventures of Tara Part 1, Star Slammer, The Escape, or Prison Ship, Star Slammer. This has so many titles.
All of them are great. I can't blame them for not being able to pick one.
Yeah,
they're all great
good
titles.
I hate to say it, but I want the one with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with, you know, Adventures of Tara Part 1, Star Slammer, The Escape, or Prison Ship, Star Slammer, The Adventures of Tara Part 1. That's what I want. I want all of it. I want the longest title possible.
I'm not okay with Star Slammer because I feel like that sounds like a Denny's breakfast order. I feel like the Star Slammer is just like, you know, that's just me getting bacon, eggs, pancakes, and then like pieces of cantaloupe that are cut into the shape of stars.
Denny's comes out with that, and IHOP is... The IHOP marketing team is going to be going, what the fuck, guys? They got mm-hmm. the Star Slammer. What do we got? Yeah. What do we got? Rudy Tootie Fresh.
We're sleeping the wheel out here. Yeah. We're fucking IHOP. What the hell? Yeah.
They Come got on.
The Star Slammer was right there.
They got the Star Slammer, and we just got our dick in our hands. That's what we got.
We just got our waffle in our hands.
I like That's, that they
oh,
don't
wait,
have
Oh, wait, you said
pancakes.
IHOP, not Waffle
In that
House,
case,
sorry.
And no, but in that case, it is a waffle. They're like, I don't waste the pancakes.
Right. Waffle is just what I, a waffle is what I call my dick, because it's, I had an unfortunate accident with a crimper. Don't ask me about it. I'm not really willing to talk about it.
I don't
it.
Like to talk about it, but.
Now, the reason why it has so many titles, I learned from the director's book. That's Fred Olin Ray's book. Hell Bent for Hollywood, A Director's Journey. And he
How
talks
many titles
about
does the book have? Just the one? Or?
Just the one. Okay. Now, when he made the movie, he wanted to just call it Prison Ship. That's what he went in with the working title as. He called it Prison Ship. But he...
A real working man's title. Just Prison Ship.
Right.
Or Ship in Space.
Right.
Ship prison in Space ship. With Women.
He reaches out to Jack H. Harris, the guy who we have talked about on this podcast, because he is the guy who was responsible for the original Blob, but he also has produced a bunch of movies, such as The Oldest Profession, or at least he's the man that brought The Oldest Profession to the United States, got the rights to that. And he's got plenty of stuff that was released by New World Video at some point, I think around the time in the mid-80s when they got the rights to The Blob, because they were going to originally do the remake. Of course, we talked about The Blob in one of our nearly new worlds from years ago. So when he gets Jack Harris on board, Jack Harris wants to call it Star Slammer. So they make so they basically say, okay, well, let's compromise. The compromise is we both win. And it's called Prison Ship Star Slammer, The Adventures of Tara. So, like, the compromise is we just take all the titles and we just throw them all in there and they're there. So, and that's that title card has like all of them on it. So it's just, that's the compromise.
So if that's how it works, then are you guys still open to calling this the New World Pictures podcast, a podcast on the internet starring Mark, Ryan, and Erica featuring movies that we talk about? Or second working title, the New World Pictures podcast adventures, movies, movies, movies. Here we go, guys. Podcast starring Erica, Mark, and Ryan.
I like the second one because it says adventures, and I feel like that's okay. Fun. Yeah.
Okay, I like the second one because it says movies, movies, movies. And I think that that pretty much sums it up.
I'm excited for that t-shirt in particular. Yeah. Really think it's going to be a hot seller.
You know, it just talks about what we do. Movies, movies, movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love it.
You pair that with a bottomless cup of coffee and a Star Slammer, and you're good to go. You probably don't even have... You could probably skip lunch. It's very filling.
The reason that he even gets Jack Harris involved is because Fred Olen Ray shoots a little bit of this movie before he actually gets the money to do it. He's shooting the film Biohazard, which came out a year before this. And he shoots part of it, and he rents Roger's studio. In fact, let's read a little bit from his book where he talks about it. I was going to shoot Biohazard for one day, and the next day I was going to shoot some extra footage for myself using the standing spaceship sets for what I hoped would later become Prison Ship. I wanted Aldo Ray, who was in Biohazard. He wanted to use him for that as well. And Aldo Ray plays the Inquisitor in Star Slammer. This time, I'd have my star in the can before I even had a movie. I sat there waiting at the studio, high on a tall stack of wood left over from when the studio was a lumber yard. So, now this is like post Roger selling it. So, he sold New World. He's on to probably New Concord at this point. But he still has the studio, and the studio still has lumber in it. Eventually, it becomes the Venice Studio. That's what they call it. But still the lumber yard then. He said, one Sunday morning, we snuck outside of our contracted studio space and onto the sets left over from Jim Wynorski's Lost Empire and the sci-fi movie Space Raiders. So they shot a bunch of scenes. they shot a bunch of scenes, showed a Jack Harris. He said, I'll give you more money to complete the movie and because this looks really good. So he actually shot at Roger's space. Now, he doesn't shoot the rest of the movie at Roger's studio. He shoots them at a different space, which actually was like, I believe, a supermarket that they converted. It was converted into like a studio space. But he does shoot the initial scenes there. The scenes that are with the Inquisitor are the scenes he shot there. They actually do make it up in there. And he also, he borrows some prop guns from Galaxy of Terror. And also the android guard outfits are also from Galaxy of Terror. In fact, he does a great... He does a great deal of borrowing for this movie. He borrows a bunch of things, which we will get into. But it doesn't all take place on sets. It takes place a little bit on a planet, if you will. We get about 10 minutes outdoors. What's that?
Chatsworth is its own planet now?
I don't think that's exactly where he shot it. I can't remember where
according
exactly
to
shot,
the authority on all movies, movies, movies outside of this podcast, IMDb, they said that they shot in Chatsworth for this.
They may have. I'm trying to, and that's where we meet our star of the film, Sandy Brook as Tara. Yep. Erica, you were saying that this movie... What did you say about this movie?
This is the podcast part where we can talk about it.
Do I talk here?
Yeah. This is where you jump in. Movie? This is where you jump in and start talking.
What did I say about this movie? When?
This is going great.
Recently?
This is going great, guys. This is really going great.
I said a lot of things about this movie. So you can pick and edit any number of these. I said that it was boring.
That's not what I was going to say.
It was essentially a softcore porn without penetration.
Or nudity, yes? Quite frankly.
No? Yeah. There's a nippy count, and there's a small titty count, but that's about it.
Yeah.
What else did I say about it, Ryan? I forget.
There's not... In fact, that's something that Fred Olen Ray said he was upset about, like, that it didn't have more boobs to it. The other thing he says in his... You know, because, of course, we watched the Kino DVD. He does say in the commentary, too, he says, like, I should have probably made this with Roger Corman. And then in his book and in the commentary, he mentions, like, kind of wish there was more, you know, boobs in the movie.
Well, I have to think, though, like, this movie is a very low budget. And I have to imagine that the people that were in this movie were like, yeah, for that salary, I'm not taking off my top. I mean, you got to give me at least something here.
Sure.
And for that, no. I'm not going to do it. Although yeah, no, I will admit, I give them a lot of credit with creativity on the prison uniform, which, I mean, I always thought that prisons had a standard uniform that everyone had to wear because you want everyone to, you know, look the same, and it kind of it psychologically forces people into conformity. But on the prison ship, you're able to customize, design. Everyone's got a little bit of their own flair for their prison uniform, which I thought was unique. And it gave people... for being in prison, let's just talk about this for a second. Mm-hmm. You have movies, which I know they do that in prison now. You have a choice you have a choice of how you want to wear your prison uniform. And your prison uniform given to you can be slightly different than the next person's because it's based upon your personality. You also have dance club time. You also have fun fighting time.
Yeah.
You don't have set cells. You just have like a big room, sort of like a club to just hang out with people and just chat.
Some of you still get to perform science.
Some of you do. Some of you get to perform science, and some of you get to bring your plate, like from the cafeteria, back to your club room where you can sharpen it at night. And no one's going to say anything. It's kind of like an all-inclusive resort in space, but the management are kind of dicks. Like if you can put up with that, you can make your own liquor. No one's going to say anything.
Yeah.
And you can go harvest for worms, which I didn't know you could do in space because...
Yeah, where did those worms come from? That was a little sus.
Yeah, I was like, grumpy old men said you have to go out on the grass at night after it rains and that's how you catch worms. But I guess in space you can
too. So many lessons in that movie. So many lessons. So instructive.
I've only just begun, so... We'll get there. Yeah,
so let me scrape the surface. You need to rewatch it 60 times to really truly get it all. So much.
I'm way ahead of you on that one. 62 on my count. But the point is, this is a fun slammer, as slammers go.
Yep. Fun star slammer. Let me just quickly finish off that point about the boobies in the movie. The reason that he couldn't get actresses to agree to take the tops off is because he had to cast so many of them in advance of actually having the funding for the movie. So he cast a bunch of women to shoot scenes on the Corman sets, and he couldn't get them to then agree to come back later and take their clothes off. So that ended up being that issue for him. But yes,
I would just say arguably though, and you can add this to that. If I looked like any of those ladies and had the boobies of any of those ladies, probably would take a very minimal amount and I'd be like, woo, let's go. You know, I feel like I would do the titty test, like the, you know, the Reed test or the, I don't know, the titty audition.
Sure.
I don't know what they call it.
The tradition. They call it a tradition.
The tradition. I don't know what they call it in the biz, but I feel like I would take my shirt off and they'd be like, whoa, all right, okay. All your scenes are definitely with a sweatshirt on. So just, we're good. Thank you. We've seen all we need. I'd be like, you sure? You sure? You sure? You want me to come a little closer? Or you sure? Did you want to wipe your glasses off? Just make sure you got it all. He'd be like, okay, we're, thank you. Thank you so much. Just, we got it. Just, here's a sweatshirt and please finish the audition.
To get back to your point about the uniforms, Mark, one of those scenes when she does take her top off is literally her going into a room and changing a uniform to a different uniform because that uniform mm-hmm. matches this next scene, which is her going after the Inquisitor, which I'm assuming they shot before they shot the rest of the movie. So it's literally a scene where she takes her top off just so she can change back into the shirt she wore, you know, months previously when they shot the other footage. So, but it reminds me of what you just said about it being a resort, is that it's time to, you know, make up our own letterbox synopsises for Star Slammer, a.k.a. Prison Ship, a.k.a. Prison Ship Star Slammer, The Adventures of Tara Part 1. So Erica, what is your made-up letterbox synopsis?
A beautiful woman with a fantastic perfect perm. Living peacefully on a deserted planet is grabbed and taken to space prison against her will, where she finds out the toughest nut to crack results in friendship.
Yeah.
Mark, I think you pretty much already delivered your letterbox synopsis. And mine is kind of similar in that it's, this is a story about Tara, who is captured and brought to the lowest minimum security space prison that's in working condition, and meets the hero of her own story, Mike, who quickly trumps her and, you know, becomes the lead character of the film. So in the end, it's the story of Mike.
It is the story of Mike. I mean, she really is the hero of the entire movie. She makes the booze. She's the best fighter. She's got a little sister that she ultimately, I think, punches out in the end of the movie, which I thought was charming. What I will say is this movie is interesting because it's, in one sense, it's tried to be a parody of sci-fi movies.
Yeah,
but like, imagine, listener, come with me on this journey. Imagine you make a parody, but you're also saying to yourself, but people do like sci-fi movies, so let's also make a sci-fi movie. And people like women in prison movies, so let's also make a women in prison movie. So when someone says, is it a parody? And they go, you mean like Airplane? They're like, no, that's two parody. And they're like, okay. Interesting. Is it like Scary Movie? No. Two parody. What I want it is to be a parody that is also the movies that we're making fun of. Which means it's kind of none of the above.
I would argue, though, that like the movie uses humor because it's kind of like to almost excuse the budget. I think the movie's made for like maybe $200,000, basically. And I think they're just like, we don't have the money to truly probably pull off all that we really want to do, so let's just like make it silly and fun because we can't possibly really like pull off a lot of this stuff. I mean, as it is, because I didn't say this before, a lot of the outside ship footage is taken from Battle Beyond the Stars, which he also got from Corman.
I've seen it.
But with the exception of Tara's initial spaceship, which goes down to the planet, that shot is actually taken from John Carpenter's Dark Star.
I've seen it.
Because Jack H. Harris is the guy who gave them the money once they had made the movie at, you know, film school, and gave them money to, like, complete it, make it a little bit longer, and actually make it, like, a feature film length. So he had some rights to the movie, so he was able to lend them a little bit of footage from Dark Star as well.
Well, I guess then let me take back my previous comment.
You don't have to take it back.
No. I think the thing that I didn't like... Are we things we love, things we hated? Okay, something I hated. I did.
Yeah, we are. Go ahead.
I hated that this movie, there are wink, this is, you know, we know this is a bad movie too moments. Because yeah, there's not sure. enough of sure. them. And you should have just gotten rid of that and just hammed up, but done it totally straight face, just hammed up how ridiculous the scenes are, but just done sure. it like... Like, we don't know. We're not with you, audience. We're, yeah. like, doing our best, and I'm using air quotes. That would have been mm-hmm. funnier to me. Like, it just yeah. amp up how stupid it is, and but don't wink at the audience. That would have been funnier.
Yeah,
and they agree. Didn't do it.
Yep.
Well, I still think it has a... I mean, I like the movie. I think there's a lot of, like, silly stuff in it. It certainly starts weird. It's got this weird old... wizardy type dude who runs into Tara, and I'm not sure what his purpose is, but he's quickly dispatched. We don't really know why he's there, and I think he's there for just like a reason of him being funny, and that's why they thought it would be cool to have him there, because they think he's kind of a funny character. But he's quickly killed because guess who jumps down to the planet? Ross Hagen, who we know because we just talked about Ross Hagen. And, well, first of all, he's in Avenging Angel, but he was also in the movie that we just talked about.
I've seen it.
and we talked about last month because he was in Nashville Girl.
I'd go anywhere to fix a Maytag.
He was the country music star who, of course, takes our Nashville Girl and puts her under contract and all that. So that's Ross Hagen, who ended up making a lot of movies with Fred Olen Ray. So and he's wearing costumes, all the costumes that he's wearing in his crew, those were all taken from a Charles Band movie called Metal Storm, The Destruction of Jared Sin. And that's where they got all those.
I haven't seen that one, movies. So you don't get
I have seen it
for that one.
I have seen
it. Is it good?
It's pretty silly. It's pretty fun. It's worth watching. I think a lot of the early Charlie Band stuff has got some fun stuff to it. Not all of it, but it's pretty fun, particularly in his Empire days. I think once he goes to Full Moon, you know, he's just making so much stuff, you know, that it becomes like it just depends on who's making what, whether or not anything's fun or not. But and then he shifts to kids' films. But anyway, that's Charles Band. But yeah, I think some of his early movies, I think he's still really trying and going for it. And I think Metal Storm's got some fun moments to it. It's not unlike this movie because it's made for very little money and they have a much more ambitious story in mind. That said, I'm not sure this has a highly ambitious story. The movie's broken into like five different sections. And the sections is because Fred Olen Ray said that he was thinking of it like the old movie serials. Which is why there's like title cards for each section. But you think like, yeah, but in each section there's like really wild things that happen. The first one makes a lot of sense. She's on a planet. Ross Hagen comes down. She gets captured. She goes to this prison ship. That's part one. Part two, it's just like it enters that women in prison kind of movie where she like has to meet all the women and the women like instantly hate her and they're at odds with everybody. And eventually, you know, they're going to like not be at odds. They're going to like join forces because, you know, why not? There's only five of them. So you might as well. And you're going to want to like get out of there, right? The whole point is get out of there. You're going to have to make friends. And they do. The third one, I guess the big crazy part in that is the fact that they fight and then they have to fight a monster it was an interesting thing that they were doing, because it seemed to be for like the people running the prison for their entertainment, but they let some of the prisoners come in and also enjoy. So it was like for most everyone. Not everyone got to watch it, but most everyone got to watch it.
Well, when you're at an all-inclusive resort, typically they have some form of entertainment, and that entertainment is provided by the people that are helping you during the day. It could be servers, could be people making the food, it could be some of the hospitality staff. Now, typically, they don't also include people who are paying to stay at the resort as part of the entertainment. But But I mean, they'll bring people up.
This was just a bonus. So, this was a bonus, you know, because they got the people,
Hey, we want someone from the audience. I mean, you guys are improvisers. You bring people up to the stage. And, you know, I'm sure you had some really great ones that came up and really surprised you. Which, and some people I'm sure that you know, that didn't surprise you. But, like, what was someone, when you guys were improvising, what was, like, one of the people, or do you remember a moment when you brought someone on stage and they were legitimately very funny, or they could banter with you, they could actually like keep up with you?
There were a lot of those in Boom Chicago where you would talk to people, like, you know, in the crowd, more less than bringing people on stage. Bringing people up on stage most of the time, and I can't really think of in a time where it didn't, that pretty much freezes just about anybody, because they're now on stage in front of the lights with the crowd, and I mean, that it petrifies them. So I don't remember a time where that worked out. But there certainly were people, you could talk to people and they might be kind of funny. But most people were drunk and thought they were funny and were trying to say unfunny things that they thought were funny to you. And the beauty was, as I was instructed to do by the theater, was that, you know, let them say whatever they want, because you have the microphone and you ultimately get to make fun of them and do whatever you'd like. So that was really more the fun that I had, was just people saying dumb things and I got to respond to it and make them feel stupid. But they wouldn't feel stupid. They would feel like, yay, because these are European crowds. They loved it when you made fun of them, not like American crowds. Mm-hmm.
Erica?
I have no memory of that time. Sorry.
Oh.
No memories of it.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
No memories.
Oh, wow.
So, don't know.
Okay.
All a blur. Yeah. I don't know.
One part of the movie where I think the film does really kind of get the tone that you were talking about, Mark, is that of the warden. Maybe not the warden. There's a warden helper. There's almost two wardens. I'm not sure how it exactly works.
Are you talking about Warden or Muffin?
I'm not talking about Warden. I'm talking about Muffin.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Muffin with the eye patch, played by Don Wildsmith. Don Wildsmith would eventually go on to marry Fred Olen Ray. They were dating around this time, then later would divorce. But around this time was when they were getting together, and she really wanted to be in this movie, and she is great in this movie. I really think she's like, she's the low-key MVP in this movie. She knows the movie she's in. And every scene that she's in, she's like, I am going to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, it helps that she has a triangle of a spaghetti strainer as an eye patch over her eye. When you have that going for you, you're like, I can ham it up all I want.
Yeah, you know that this is what kind of movie this is. Of course,
Dale Bozzio from Missing Persons was looking at her outfits and going like, ooh, write that one down. I think I can wear that one.
Totally.
Noted.
Yes, absolutely. She had also been in like Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers and Surf Nazis Must Die, and she's got like a pretty extensive, like, you know, B-movie history. Also Jacko and a bunch of other things, Commando Squad, but so many B-movies that she was in. Terminal Force, which we will talk about eventually on this podcast, because that's a Fred Olen Ray movie. She was also in Armed Response, which I believe was around the same time as this movie, another Fred Olen Ray movie, and The Tomb. She was in Beverly Hills Vamp, which we talked about on this podcast, released by New World Video. So, but yeah, she's a lot of fun in this movie, and I think she really kind of gets it. The other part to me that I think I really liked too was, and I was fairly certain, but I still wanted to look it up, when they do fight a monster in the fighting ring or whatever, I was like, is that like a creature from Deadly Spawn? And indeed, they did borrow a creature from the Deadly Spawn.
Really?
In order to, yeah, that's absolutely one of the things that they did. One of the guys that worked on the movie like had access to it, and so that's how he got to use this creature from Deadly Spawn. And hopefully, they didn't damage it too much in trying to burn it up. And however, they got out of that scene. But yeah, like this movie just is borrowing things from tons of other movies in order to try to create this movie, which is totally in the whole Corman spirit in my mind.
It also has a soundtrack that, I mean, outside of the action soundtrack, which is sort of like the same repetitive 8 measures that it just keeps looping, when they finally are doing the battle in space, it is a melody that is strikingly similar to Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's just off by a couple notes, but I was like, is that the Raiders of the Lost Ark theme?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is very close.
It is.
Well,
it
that's is. On purpose, really, because the music for this movie was written by Jack Harris's son. And in his book, which is called Father of the Blob, The Making of a Monster Smash and Other Hollywood Tales, he says that his son had made the movie, or made the score for a Indiana Jones type movie. And
that makes sense.
So they ended up using it instead for this movie. So, yeah. So that's why it sounds like that. It does sound like an odd... It's a weird score for this movie. It doesn't very sound very right. Yeah.
It's like when you're in the supermarket and they're playing like an instrumental version of a popular song, and you're like, "Is that version? I don't remember flutes being in it, but."
And it's detuned by like a tenth of an octave, and you're like, "Wait,
yeah, you're like,
I think that's it." But
first of all, I thought this was the cheese aisle, but I don't see any cheese. Second. Did they just recently move the cheese, or am I just misremembering it? Third, is that an instrumental of Careless Whisper? If I had the cheese, I feel like I'd know for sure.
Every time Erica goes to the store, she sort of her brain. It's like getting when a Russian spy's planted a keyword into your brain. And then suddenly you completely change your whole personality. She just goes in there and she just doesn't remember anything from her past. She's just
I'm like Winter Soldier up in Ralph's. they're like trinket, cooler, trophy, Alabama, plastic, Raphael, and I'm like, I came in here to get the cheese.
But your Winter Soldier is only interested in getting cheese, but has no ability to know what cheese is. That's your incredible spy. Yeah.
You know what? Hydra trained me, okay? I don't know. I didn't have a say in it, Ryan. I was a prisoner, so.
We've lost Mark because we're talking about Marvel stuff, and he has no idea what we're talking about.
Just have a little nappy. Have a little nap.
What are we talking about? All right. So this movie, I think we should talk about the fact that this movie makes fun of so many movies. And I know that a lot of the movies we talk about, we say that. But this one, imagine reformed schoolgirls in space.
That's
also Battle Beyond the Stars, but also a little bit of Indiana Jones, like we said, with the music at least. There is a whip scene, which I guess would be more of an odd Indiana Jones. There's a little bit of, even you talked about the mystical guy that is in the beginning. That's a little Lord of the Rings reference, right? Am I right?
Maybe.
He's got a staff. He's got a staff. So
yeah, of those like Conan films at the time that probably were coming out, there's probably a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars too. Let's not forget. I mean, there's got it. There's always they're always like Star Wars is like maybe far down the line, but that's the thing that got movies like this made.
You talked about at the beginning, Ryan. That like let's talk about the plot, which there isn't a lot of, and there really isn't. Tara gets captured, and she's on this prison ship, and you know you have the typical reform school girls or women in prison movies where you have the leadership of the prison being a little bit sexy and a lot of bit mean, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. but there isn't. It takes a long time before we get a plan. It's just sort of they just sort of hang yeah. out for a while.
Yeah.
Before yeah. they yeah, decide, I mean, oh, we should get out of here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it takes yeah. even after they fight the deadly spawn creature and then they get put in solitary, and that's once they're put in solitary, we get one of those little rats. That's where they introduce mm-hmm. those little
they fight like, a puppet.
They fight a puppet rat. Which then they're like, it's almost like we're watching them fall, the filmmakers, like Fred Olen Ray and everybody, fall in love with that rat puppet, like, in real time. Because then they're like, mm-hmm. well, it's got to attack somebody else. And then we got to see it, like, somewhere else. Yeah. Like, I mean, they all of a sudden, that thing, it's a late entry into the movie, and then it starts popping up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets our one scene of gore, if you will.
I will say yeah. that rat was full of blood because when she finally does pop yeah. its neck, that thing just splooshes blood all yeah. over her.
I
know we're not quite at favorite scenes, but that is my favorite scene because I was like, holy shit, that thing just, yeah. that was like a tick waiting to pop full of blood.
Mm-hmm. That whole sequence was also my favorite scene because of the harmonica. Just
yes.
yes. jam session, like the extremely lengthy Mike finds a harmonica and just goes to town playing it. Like, we get it. You found a harmonica. We got it. But it
also
goes on forever.
Shot like individually because, of course, they only had the one prison cell yeah. set. So they yeah. each had to do their bit. But the thing with the rat has to be a moment like where they just overshot the blood on her face, but they probably weren't able to do many takes, if not mm-hmm. other takes at all. I have to think
yeah.
they probably were like, look, we got it. It's got a ton of blood on her face. It's more than we were thinking, but we got it. She played it off. I mean, they let that linger. She like wipes her face and then just kind of like breathes and like looks, and they're just like, he had to be like, no one, everyone,
do not, do not,
shut up, don't ruin this take, don't ruin this take. Yeah. And then he's like,
this is it.
Finally, like, cut, okay, wow, all right, I think we got that. I think we got, did we get that? Did we get that? Let's move on. Like, I think that that's one of those things where, like, they didn't shoot multiple versions.
I will also say that outside of Mike, like people in this, the prisoners and some of the employees, they don't really have prison sounding nicknames like Scratch, Squeaker. We already mm-hmm. talked about Muffin. Like, there's no badass names like Asparagus Pea or
yeah.
you know, Chronic Back Pain. You know, because that's pain, mm-hmm. but. Like, my back hurts all the time.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, there's none of those, like, really, you know, strike fear in the heart of people kind of nicknames.
Yeah, they didn't base their names on, like, middle-aged issues.
Like,
which is
like,
odd. Which is odd yeah. for yeah. a bunch of young women to not.
Could be like, I'm fucking sleep apnea, bitch. Like, yeah. Yeah, that's nice. Badass. That could really. It's not good for you. You shouldn't do that.
I actually feel sorry for you. That probably causes a lot of problems in your day-to-day. I'm real sorry.
I hate to ask for clarification, but is the bitch directed at me, or is that just an extension of your name?
No, I mean, sleep apnea is a bitch.
Are you
but
sleep apnea bitch?
Wordy,
you know,
it's just
like,
too wordy.
That, so it's like, you could be going for all three.
I'm the sleep apnea bitch.
Like, I have sleep apnea, and I am fucking pissed off about it. Which, you know what?
I can't get a good night's sleep. I cannot.
I don't blame you. You're waking yourself up all night long. I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. It's tough.
And in space, we're too busy with the science wiping people's mind and not enough with the science, you know, clearing people's sinuses or whatever it
takes.
Yeah,
what was that? Wiping people's minds, the Inquisitor wiping people's minds. Of course, that scene, as I mentioned, shot well before everything else. So you just have to make that work, but like, it's like, you forgot that was a part of the movie because you shot it so long ago that you're like, oh, right. There was these wiping people's mind. What's the point of doing that? Is that just to make them docile? Or is that to, what was the point of it?
Well, then they do that to Mike, and then Mike, within 5 minutes, shakes it off and is like, I'm back, like Indiana Jones.
Because Dr. Poe didn't actually do it. Because they leave to let Dr. Poe do it, and she...
I understand, but then we don't find that out till later, and then all of a sudden it's like, you shouldn't have tried to let them out. I'm like, wait a minute.
Right. Hold on, that's when she gets the Inquisitor, like, captures her, and... But what was the point of... Just because Mike was just too aggressive? I mean, they already put them... If that was... They put them in solitary, and then they just get out. They're also like, you're in solitary, but like once she kills the rat, they're like, you've served your time. I mean, why not just leave Mike in there if she's a real problem that you're tired of her attitude? You know, like just keep her there.
I don't know. It's again, I think this is an all-inclusive resort where you get a prison-like experience, but also free drinks, all the free drinks and food that you want. But instead of sitting by a pool, you get a fun prison experience.
Yeah, it's like a Westworld for people who like to get pushed around, you know?
Wow. What was that one? What is your movie synopsis?
I like shitty food, and I like to be told what to do. And then I like to fight those orders.
Uh-huh.
This is all part of the experience.
But sometimes I also like to dance. And so,
just want to like cut loose and forget about it. And poison my body with fluid from the ship's engine.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, and it's all paid for. I don't have to tip. It's just all covered. There's no bill.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to
pay
tip
in advance.
The android prison guards. You don't have to tip them. Or
what was with the little remote control robot that kept showing up throughout the movie and served zero purpose?
Yeah, I wasn't sure what that was. Again, just another, I guess, kind of a funny moment that they were able to kind of toss in there. I know that the mouse robot, that is actually the voice of Fred Olen Ray, who does the voice of that. The intercom announcer voice, whenever they had that, that was actually producer Jack H. Harris. And maybe because he just had access to that little, you know, robot thing. So he was just trying to fill it with more, you know, because he had stuff. He was borrowing stuff from all over the place. So he probably had it, said, cool, let's use it. But he didn't, you know, when you're just trying to include things, but you don't really know exactly how they all fit. You know, sometimes they don't make a lot of sense.
So what you're saying is he shot a lot of stuff in different places at different times, and then he threw it to the editor and said, I don't know, make sense of this, please. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, kinda.
The point that our lead character has a dramatic hairstyle change at the end of the movie that I was like, wait, who's this character? And it took me a few minutes before I realized, oh, that's Tara. Mm-hmm. Her perm totally let go when she got on the escape pod.
Yeah. Well, because you go through a deep depressurizing to get onto the ship, and it just like took it all out of her hair.
Erica,
back me up on this. Come on.
Oh, sure. I know. When I had my space perm, that chamber, that bibolic, what is it? Biper barlic chamber. really just ruined my perm. Oh, God, it did wonders in the wrong possible way. I hope wonders in the opposite direction. Blunders on my perm.
I hope we haven't turned off any listeners with that scientific, that highly accurate scientific speak that Erica just
what
had.
Is it called?
I don't want to, like...
Bubonic chamber or something like that? I don't know.
It's not a plague. They're not spraying.
Well, I don't know.
Pushing plague fog over you as you. We're gonna kill you as you get onto the escape pod.
I'm not a fucking scientist, space scientist, Ryan. I don't know.
I'm just the person that gets a perm and goes to space.
I went to space school and I tried to get my space PhD. And then they were like, "Okay, for the final test, you got to put on this lingerie." And I was like, "Well, I don't even know where to begin." And I put it on. They were like, "Gross. No, F. You get an F." And I was like, an F? Yeah, an F.
For clarity, it's a hyperbaric chamber.
So hyperbaric.
You're very close. Very, very
close.
There
we go.
Yeah. That's not really, also. Not often used in space. It's often used if you've been below the
you're going to get the bends. It's a way to help you get over that.
Stop saying the bends.
The
we get it.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay, man. The bends. No one wants it. We're talking about perms here, dog. What's the impact on the perm?
I'm with Radiohead. Maybe the bends
are
so bad.
I will take
the bends
if my hair looks good, okay?
Fair. Totally fair.
Except the bends.
Totally fair.
Is that how Radiohead wrote that album? They just had the bends? They just wrote
They all
that
got hyperbaric chambers. They're like, let's just record
they
here.
They're like, I'm feeling pretty good now. I think I need to go back underwater. Come back up too quick,
and
then
I'll
record my guitar part.
Too quickly without adjusting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what they did. Because look at them. Yeah. They all look like serious divers.
Yeah.
All the members of Radiohead.
Yeah. They do.
They were like, hey, lads, before we record this next album, let's just go, let's get deep. And somebody was like, whoa. And they were like, underwater.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I saw Tom York play at the Greek here in Los Angeles, and I was like, whoa, who's this sea captain? Oh, that's Tom York? That's the guy.
Holy shit. You almost made hot water go through my nose. Oh, wow.
That might cure your sleep apnea, though. You never know. Might want to let it happen.
Oh, just think of the great mood you'll be having once you get through that sleep apnea.
Yeah. In the band, man. His nickname is Skipper. Because he's...
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Oh, the adventures they've gone through.
Most, the adventures.
Yeah. That's... They have so many titles for their albums, and they end up having to throw out.
Mm-hmm.
But they're usually adventures,
all nautical
music,
themed,
music, music.
All of them.
One of their albums was just called Radiohead Song, Song, Songs, where we play some music, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
And the label's like, no, we're just going to call it OK Computer. And they're like, son of a bitch.
Gosh, damn it.
Wow.
All right. Well,
not at all what we intended, but OK.
Yeah.
I think
Are we
people
final
would
questions
really like.
Yet?
We've really steered off the course, Tom York style. The thing that Tom York likes to do is just lose himself out in the ocean and find his way back. That's what he likes
Thank
to do.
Thank you.
Okay, I know we're not at final questions, but let me ask. Since the end of the movie is stealing scenes from Battle Beyond the Stars, did you think that the battle scene at the end of Battle Beyond the Stars was better, equal or worse than the battle scene at the end of Star Slammers?
The ending scene of Battle Beyond the Stars, is it better than the Star Slammer ending scene?
Since they're using
a
lot of the same footage.
But I think that Battle Beyond the Stars ending scene is better, for sure. I mean, for one, you have people that they did build different sets for different people's ship.
Yeah.
So you did have some variance. They're using like the same three ships. It's the same footage, the same blowing up footage. Not to say that they didn't repeat a lot of that stuff also in Battle Beyond the Stars, but like also each spaceship is essentially the spaceship that the girls walk into initially, and then it's just like they'll put a red light and then they'll, you know, they'll put the warden in there and like shoot that. So it's like, it's just the exact same stuff. So yeah, I mean, I think it's more effective in Battle Beyond the Stars. Just by a hair, but sure.
Okay, second question. Do you guys, because I lost the thread on this. Do you know who the other bad guys were that show up at the end in that battle scene?
They were people that worked with Ross Hagen's character, Bantor.
But they just get introduced at the very end.
Yeah, they
in a battle.
No, they're there on the planet, and they do come up later because one of the guys like hooks up with the warden at one point in time, and the guy who keeps having his hair dyed, they'd all walk in now and again, and the guy that with his keeps getting his hair dyed whips Bantor at one point in time.
Oh, I remember that.
But their purpose in this movie, if you want me to answer what their purpose is,
please.
I cannot tell you. I do not know. I have no idea. Outside of just being Bantor and his boys.
Just, yeah, it's Bantor's boys.
I got my boys, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Bantor, got my boys. Boys! And I'm on this ship.
Yeah.
I also would like to point out that Bantor on the planet, I guess, dips his hand into these flaming rocks and completely burns his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to the ship and a bunch of other things happen. By the time he shows up again, he holds up his hand, and it's supposed to be like a metal hand, but it just looks like he's got a glove on it. And he kind of like holds it and kind of looks menacingly. And I was like, I listened to the commentary, and he's like, yep, see, now he's got a metal hand. And I was like, that's what it was supposed to be, a metal hand.
Well, that's why it makes robotic noises when he moves the fingers
to give you the sense
that, it's some kind of mechanical hand.
And then I had to be like, oh, right, he burnt his hand. That's correct. That's right. Mm-hmm. Erica, what was your final questions?
Oh, my final questions? What do you think the thong serves in space? On the planet, on the remote planet, when Tara is running around fighting baddies, you know, collecting crystals, have I been doing my adventures wrong by wearing pants? Should I have been in a thong? I guess that's my final question. Have I been doing adventures wrong?
You can climb up rocks. It makes it a lot easier for you to jump up on rocks and run along them because you're not, you're freed from the prison of your, of shorts.
Pants prison.
Yeah.
In undies prison.
It is less comfortable when you sit on said rocks.
Sure.
But, you know,
but
the
she
freedom.
Does sit. She has a sit and chat with that wizard.
Yeah, she does.
Just in a thong. And I'm like, wow, I guess I've been planning my, you know, outdoor adventures wrong.
Not pictured when she stands back up and she spends 5 minutes trying to get all the dirt off her butt.
Mm.
Not shown in the film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the rock waffle, that imprint on her butt cheeks that you're going to have.
Yeah.
Guys, so. I don't talk about it. I won't talk about it.
I'm talking about the butt waffle.
Won't talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. You won't get me to.
I'm just saying, we have a family trip to Hawaii coming up, and this could be your chance to star slam that trip to Hawaii.
I'm sure it's what everybody's hoping happens.
How you revealing know? Do you expect? So you don't want me to do the waffle thing.
Wait, are you talking you want waffle or you want adventure thong?
Yeah, I'm saying adventure thong.
He wants adventure thong, but he truly asked for waffle dick.
But waffle.
I never asked for anything. You seem to be down to thong. And I was saying, this could be an opportunity for you.
Well, you know, I'm trying to learn here, because I'm a woman of science, so I'm just trying to figure it out, just make sure.
Sure.
You know, if there's a better way to explore, you know, on rocks, I'm open. I'm open to it.
Yeah, I mean, we were learning about space perms and, you know, adventure thongs, and, like, this movie has a lot to teach us.
Yeah, really, it's kind of, you know, more educational, I guess, than I realized upon first viewing.
One thing they didn't know exactly, at least Fred Olin Ray said he doesn't really quite understand. He said that he said that the movie did open theatrically. Jack released it himself. Not widely, but it played, and I own 50% of the worldwide profits. Sadly, I've never received a single report in over 40 years of waiting. I'm pretty sure I'll never get one, especially now that Jack has passed. However, I will say that Jack does talk a little bit about it. In his book, he mentions basically that he says, I made a deal with Trimark Pictures to pay me $75,000 over the budget in return for distribution rights. The picture came along in the waning days of drive-in theaters and was a fair grosser, but has had a good life in VHS and DVD distribution. So, sounds like whatever money it did make, it probably didn't make tons in the theater, but it made more like in VHS and DVD. And I don't know if that's where Fred Olin Ray had his money, if he just had it in worldwide distribution. But the real money was the fact that Trimark bought, basically paid the budget, and then just gave Jack Harris another $75,000. But Fred Olin Ray, well, he did get to make this movie. And he did prepare a sequel. It is teased at the end of the movie that they had a sequel. They had a sequel, and they actually did have a script. What do you think the script was about?
Hard to say. Maybe life after the escape?
I don't know about that. I feel like it could have been just the adventures of Mike. That would have been good.
Mike had to have been in it. You needed Mike, because Mike really takes charge in the end of this movie, and you're sort of like, wasn't this movie about Tara? But it really becomes... She does do a lot of the shooting of the other spaceships, Tara, to be fair. The movie was a sequel. It was basically called Chain Gang Planet. That's what they were saying, that she would return in that adventure. Which, frankly, I'm bummed we never got. I would have liked it. I mean, I do think that this guy... Fred Olin Ray made a bunch of different movies, and he made them all kinds of genres. But this really does feel, and I don't know exactly how he intended it, but he certainly feels it when he's doing the commentary. He made this in a very Roger Corman kind of style. And I don't know, it felt kind of cozy to me just to watch this movie and have like, I mean, especially some of the sets. And he did a lot of the same thing with the sets. He got a bunch of people that had worked with Corman on some of these things. They did build a lot of their own sets. Obviously, they used a little bit of the sets from Space Raiders, but they also built their own sets. And again, they went and took trash, garbage, different found things, like, and, you know, glued them, nailed them onto the walls to give it more of like a spaceship look. So it's still like all made in that same kind of spirit where they're just trying to like take what they can and try to make it look like, you know, futuristic sets, which is exactly what Roger Corman did during his New World sci-fi movies. So
I understand I think IMDb said they had to, most of it was filmed in an abandoned grocery store.
Right. Which they turned into a studio.
Right. But I feel like they did an admirable job of creating sets that were, you know, it looks pretty good. They have some good lighting. They have some nice design. Of course, they have a lot of the blinky lights that you expect for an 80s sci-fi movie that you're like, well, what does that light do? But it overall, it looks good, especially for $200,000. It looks great.
One of the guys making a lot of those sets was Wayne Springfield. He was an art director on Forbidden World. A couple other guys that he used that were also from the Corman days. Probably really even like the later Corman days or the new Corman days post New World. You got a guy named Mike Novotny. He had actually had all these palette flats that were left over from 2010, the year we made Contact.
That was a huge movie. I mean,
yeah.
I wouldn't say it was great, but it was, I remember it coming out. There was like so much fanfare around it.
Oh, for sure. Peter Hyams, right? So like, yeah. You know. Like, who's going to make a sequel to 2001? A crazy proposition to try to...
For sure.
You know. I mean, honestly, like, what balls? Peter Hyams. Incredible.
Well, he made one of the greatest movies ever made.
That's right. Well, see, he made a few really, really great movies. Running Scared, of course, is what we're talking about. Someone's like mentioning one of his other films. We're like, no, we're Running Scared. Probably not everyone's the first thing that comes to people's mind. Time Cop? No.
I mean, a good movie in its own right, but Running Scared
sure,
is...
Sure.
Everyone, if you're listening to this episode, time to hit pause. Go watch Running Scared. Come back. We're not going to talk about it again, but you should just pause and go watch that. Yeah, I'm not talking about the remake. I'm talking about the original one.
Yeah, not the remake they made later on, which wasn't a remake. They just used the title. They didn't
Well, I didn't see it anyway, because I was like, is that a remake of Running Scared? You can't make that better. Yeah. So, no.
Yeah, people were like, Outland, Capricorn 1. No, Running Scared, guys. Go watch it right now and come back and listen to our wrap-up, because that is it. We've talked about Star Slammer. I hope you were able to slam down a Star Slammer while you're listening to this episode. One or two, I hope.
Yeah.
I mean, if you paced yourself, you could probably only have one. But if you really worked at it, you probably could have two or three. And that is it for Star
and then
Slammer.
If you want just a light breakfast, you get the Junior Star. The Junior Star Slammer.
The Junior Slammer?
The Junior Slammer. So, just think about it, you know.
What's in the Junior Slammer?
Oh, it's all the same stuff. It's just smaller portions.
Just smaller portions.
Yeah.
It's just less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead of coffee, it's like milk or juice, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's for kids, Ryan. Come on.
It's a little chocolate milk.
And it's not little. It's Lil Slammer.
Lil Slammer. Lil Slammer.
Yep. And the I is a little star.
Yep. Oh, my God. I really want to go have one. I want to go order one right now.
No, it's kind of making me hungry.
Mm-hmm.
The grape, they're open till midnight, right? In my mind. What if we did go there this weekend and ask for a little slammer? Can we get two Star Slammers and then the kids will just have two little slammers?
Little slammers.
Like, I don't know
not
what you're talking about.
Little slammers, that's different. You're trying to get little slammers, okay?
Little, not little slammers, which actually, ironically, is actually three times the portions.
Because it's LOL, like laughing out loud.
Little slammer,
so
like, ha ha ha, can you even eat all this?
Yeah, the lull slammer, you have to finish within 45 minutes, and if you do, you get it for free.
And you get on to the Wall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. The Wall of
the
Shame.
The lull wall.
Oh! Lull wall.
They take your picture up against a star field, and then they put you up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This guy's appetite is out of this world. Someone at IHOP right now, furious in the marketing department.
Furiously writing all this down. Furiously writing all this down.
Stealing all of it.
Stealing this. Guys, I came up with a great idea, please.
Yeah.
Please listen.
My all favorite right. New World Pictures podcast, movies. Never mind. I came up with a great idea.
We hope you enjoyed this episode on Star Slammer, a.k.a. Prison Ship Star Slammer, a.k.a. a.k.a. Prison Ship Star Slammer, The Adventures of Tora, Part 1. If you want to listen to our other Nearly New Worlds, go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes, our interviews, our articles, our t-shirts. Buy a t-shirt, including the Lil Slammer t-shirt. I imagine a giant plate with just small portions. And it's saying it's out of this world. Anyway. It may be there,
don't
may
worry,
not.
I'll start working on it.
But there's plenty of designs there. So go to our website, buy a t-shirt to help support the show. And we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening. To hear more shows from the Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network, please select the link in the description